the fifth chapter of Paul's letter to the Romans. Let us pray as we approach God's word this morning. Lord God, today we stand in your presence, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God. Speak to us through your word today, that we might hear and know of your presence, know of your love, and know that you are here in our midst. Help us as we read your word today together, as we seek to understand it together, through the power of your Holy Spirit, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our Lord endures forever. So I want to talk to you today about why I am a Presbyterian. There are a lot of reasons that someone could be a Presbyterian. You could be a Presbyterian if you like Scottish heritage or John Calvin. You could be a Presbyterian if you like American history and how Presbyterians played a part in the American Revolution. But that's not why I'm a Presbyterian. One of the reasons that I'm a Presbyterian is because of grace. Because we emphasize grace in our theology. Many times in life, we're tempted to go by our works, by what we do and how those works are accepted. And sometimes we think that we can get to God by our works, and that somehow will give us righteousness or acceptance before God. And instead, what the scriptures remind us over and over again is that it's not about works, it's about grace. It's not about earning something, it's about a gift. That the Lord gives us our salvation and our faith. That grace is what life is really about. Because when we talk today about Paul in Romans 5, which is one of my favorite passages in Scripture, we can talk about Paul's gospel and what he calls the gospel. Paul believes that there's something that God is doing in the world. And Paul's gospel is about what God's doing in the world and in us through this grace, this gift. Grace is God's gift to us, and faith is God dwelling within us. Faith is the indwelling of grace in our souls. And Jesus is the person with whom we connect through this faith to make ourselves whole, that God makes us whole with that. Whenever you see the word justified in the scripture, maybe an easier way to think about justification is having your relationship with God made right. And when you see faith, think of trust, how we trust in the Lord, how we have this relationship with God. This is what God is doing through Paul's gospel and through the gospel. God is making us at one, right with him. In this passage today, we also hear Paul talking about hope and how there is a pathway for hope for humanity. That hope is what God is leading us to each day, even though that is sometimes hard to see. In this passage, it says that we will one day see glory. The state of glory is our big hope in life. That means being in the very presence of God and being fully sanctified by God. But that is a journey that we're on right now. That is how God is changing us from day to day, to make us more and more like the Lord wants us. So part of this grace is about forgiveness, and part of this grace is about making us new from day to day. And in the midst of talking about his gospel, in the midst of talking about grace and faith, Paul gives us this word, suffering. We all ask the question of suffering, why is there suffering in the world, and what is the purpose of suffering in human existence, if there is any? You see, everybody has experienced emotional pain at some point in their life. Even the plainest lived life has experienced emotional pain and suffering. Some suffering occurs due to our own actions, decisions that don't work out, relationships, business. And some suffering happens to us. Death and loss, illness. But everybody has suffering. If you look to your left and right today, the person next to you has known suffering. In a way, this is good news. It means that right now, you know that you are not alone. The person sitting next to you has experienced the same things that you have. Suffering is part of what makes us human. It's part of what makes us people. Suffering is also part of the process of making spiritual meaning. And that's what Paul is talking about today. The educator Chris Gorell talks about the dark night of the soul. He studied emotional intelligence and what it means to have different emotions in life. In fact, he's created a periodic table of the elements for emotions. And on this periodic table, things like dread has the atomic weight of the world, because when you feel dread, you have the weight of the world on you. Or the atomic weight of denial. Denial has no weight at all because we deny that it exists. When we learn this kind of emotional intelligence in life, Gorell says that we begin at some point in our lives to have a dark night of the soul. For him, that occurred when the early childhood education center that he had started was closing. He began to cry and grieve deeply that the center was closing and that the young people were losing their education from day to day. The reason the education center was closing was simple. He could not find teachers to work. As he felt this grief on the inside, he realized that things were changing, that he was coming into this space, that things were turned inside out. That's what he calls the dark night of the soul. And that many of you may have experienced that in your lives. Gorell says, this is the moment to find compassion. Suffering allows us to find compassion for others. When you're trying to figure out what is going on in life, it is a moment to find compassion for the people next to you. For Paul, the process of growing in hope is the process of making meaning out of the sufferings of life. The suffering that Paul had undertaken in his Christian walk was to be beaten, to be mistreated, and to have something physical going on with him, his thorn in the flesh. We don't know exactly what that was. But suffering itself does not stand alone, but leads to growth in our lives. And this pathway to hope that suffering begins leads us to something else, endurance. Endurance doesn't mean that you'll gain strength, although you might, or that you would gain much of anything. As it is in the Greek here, endurance is a kind of stick-to-itiveness, an ability to stay in place emotionally, so to speak. If you're able to stick to your faith, your trust in God, despite the difficulties of your circumstances, this is the endurance that Paul is calling us to simply remain and to trust in God. This endurance produces something else. It produces character. And character is the next stage of things. Here, this word character means a kind of genuineness, a kind of authenticity that God is producing within us. In that way, the unessential things of life are stripped away to find the uniqueness of who God made us to be. and how the Holy Spirit begins to dwell in us and to give us the gifts of grace. It's like the barnacles on the side of a ship being taken away, stripped back to reveal the true ship. This is the kind of character that God is trying to produce in us from day to day. When we find this kind of authenticity together, we find the kind of people that God wants us to be, unique and having our own gifts in the Spirit. For each of us has been gifted in some way through the Spirit. As Paul will say in Romans 12, that each of these people, each of us are gifted in some way through the Holy Spirit. Finally, character produces hope. Today we're talking about the Trinity, which is the three persons of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God has kind of created a sort of Trinity within us. It's the Trinity of human spiritual existence: faith, hope, and love. Paul says that love is the greatest of these in 1 Corinthians 13. The faith, hope, and love remain. But love is the greatest one that is within us. And he talks about faith or trust all the time, particularly here in Romans. Over and over again, he talks about faith. Hope is the third part of that spiritual trinity of virtues that God is working within us. Faith, hope, and love do not come to us alone, but they come to us together. Hope is the third part of that Trinity that God is working within us. And hope is the part that's oriented toward the spiritual future that's available to us in God. The great hope that tomorrow is there. Hope meets the despair of this world and wipes away its clouds. For today, the world is in despair and needs hope. And today, the church is in a unique position to provide hope to those who are in need. Thornton Wilder says it this way: hope is a projection of the imagination. So is despair. Despair all too readily embraces the ills it foresees. Hope is an energy and arouses the mind to explore every possibility to combat them. In response to hope, the imagination is aroused to picture every possible issue, to try every door, to fit together even the most heterogeneous pieces in the puzzle. After the solution has been found, it is difficult to recall the steps taken. So many of them are just below the level of consciousness. Wilder is trying to tell us that hope is there in the imagination to bring us to the next place with God. The Lord is producing hope in you, but it comes from the most unexpected place: suffering and endurance and character. If the world is going to find hope, the Lord has placed it in us for them to find. The third virtue of God is there too. For love is there, and this text talks about love. Love has been poured out by the Holy Spirit in our hearts. It's something that God has poured into our lives to help the world find the hope that it needs. With faith, God gives you hope and love. How awesome that you have these three. For in them you receive the very power of God. When we talk about the Trinity, when we talk about the character of God, we're talking about the very reality of God in the church and in the world today. If God the Father is in heaven, God the Spirit is here in the church. So that God's power is in the world. This is the very power of God within us. There's also the power of God in one other, in Christ the Son. For suffering reminds us that God has suffered with us. The incarnation of Jesus was about living beside us, about living with us from day to day, and suffering the same things that we suffer. Jesus experienced everything from hunger to sorrow and finally suffering and dying on the cross for us. Jesus spent a very human life, and God knew suffering. Suffering is the means to achieve what is divine in us, because God is creating meaning in our lives through it. God wants us to understand the story of this grace in our lives, that the past can recede into the past, that suffering at the hands of others can end in forgiveness, and that suffering does not define us, but instead it is something that we overcome in Christ. And so what can we boast about? Can we boast about our successes, about our power, about our strength, about how great we are? No. The Lord has called us to boast about something else. The Lord has called us to boast about our sufferings. And by boasting about them, we can say that the Lord has reached us in our sufferings. That the Lord is there for us all the time. No matter how hard things get, no matter how hard things have been, no matter how hard things will be, the Lord is there for us in our suffering. And our suffering does not produce destruction. Our suffering produces hope. And the hope of the Lord is there for all humanity for all time. Let us pray. Lord God, in the face of our suffering and the suffering of this world from day to day, we ask that you would continue to create hope in our lives. Transform the suffering from day to day, the pain we experience, to know that you are there, and that through everything that we go through, we have hope in you, poured out through the love of your Holy Spirit, given to us by Jesus Christ, in whom we live and move and have our being. Amen.